PBS Kids opens worlds of possibilities for all children, thanks to PBS stations and viewers like you.
Butterfly in the sky, I can go twice as high. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow, a reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look, it's in a book, a reading rainbow.
Just by sitting where you are, you're traveling in time. You're a shooting star, traveling in time. Here you are today, yesterday is past. Say you're in tomorrow, and even that won't last. You may not even feel it, but you're moving fast.
Hi there. Would you believe it? I've come all this way to Old Sturbridge Village, Massachusetts, and my car dies. Outside the gate. Inside, there's a completely different world from the one we know. Once you cross that line, you step out of the present and into the past. This book, Oxcart Man, got me started. It's the story of a family who lived here in New England around the same time your great, 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 great grandparents were alive. Life was simpler then. Maybe better. Or was it? Well, I came here to Old Sturbridge Village to find out. You know, I bet you the oxcart man never had to check his ox plugs. Whew, boy, these wires look like spaghetti to me. Maybe this car is going meatballs. I think I'll have a mechanic look at this. But how to get to Old Sturbridge Village? You know, there's no time like the present to remember how things were done in the past. I'll hoof it.
Whoa! Need some help?
Yeah, I just lost my horsepower.
Jump in.
Thanks. His wheels may not burn rubber, but he's got twin engines, each as strong as an ox. Well, it looks like double or nothing. One oxcart man to take us forward into the village, and another to take us back where this journey began.
Oxcart Man by Donald Hall. Pictures by Barbara Cooney. Read by Lorne Green. In October, he backed his ox into his cart, and he and his family filled it up with everything they made or grew all year long that was left over. He packed a bag of wool he sheared from the sheep in April. He packed a shawl his wife wove on a loom from yarn spun at the spinning wheel from sheep sheared in April. He packed 5 pairs of mittens his daughter knit from yarn spun at the spinning wheel from sheep sheared in April. He packed candles the family made. He packed linen made from flax they grew. He packed shingles he split himself. He packed birch brooms his son carved with a borrowed kitchen knife. He packed potatoes they dug from their garden. But first, he counted out potatoes enough to eat all winter and potatoes for seed next spring. He packed a barrel of apples, honey and honeycombs, turnips and cabbages, a wooden box of maple sugar from the maples they tapped in March when they boiled and boiled and boiled the sap away. He packed a bag of goose feathers that his children collected from the barnyard geese. When his cart was full, he waved goodbye to his wife, his daughter, and his son. And he walked at his ox's head 10 days, over hills, through valleys, by streams, past farms and villages, until he came to Portsmouth and Portsmouth Market. He sold the shawl his wife made. He sold the bag of wool. He sold 5 pairs of mittens. He sold candles and shingles. He sold maple sugar. He sold a bag of goose feathers. He sold birch brooms. He sold potatoes. He sold apples. He sold honey and honeycombs, turnips and cabbages. Then he sold the barrel he carried the apples in. Then he sold the wooden box he carried the maple sugar in. Then he sold the bag he carried the potatoes in. Then he sold his ox cart. Then he sold his ox and kissed him goodbye on his nose. Then he sold his ox's yoke and harness. With his pockets full of coins, he walked through Portsmouth Market. He bought an iron kettle to hang over the fire at home. And for his daughter, he bought an embroidery needle that came from a boat in the harbor that had sailed all the way from England. And for his son, he bought a Barlow knife for carving birch brooms with. And for the whole family, he bought 2 pounds of wintergreen peppermint candies. Then he walked home with a needle and the knife and the wintergreen peppermint candies tucked into the kettle and a stick over his shoulder stuck through the kettle's handle and coins still in his pockets. Past farms and villages, over hills, through valleys, by streams, until he came to his farm. And his son, his daughter, and his wife were waiting for him. And his daughter took her needle and began stitching. And his son took his Barlow knife and started whittling. And they cooked dinner in their new kettle. And afterward, everyone ate a wintergreen peppermint candy. And that night, the ox cart man sat in front of his fire, stitching a new harness for the young ox in the barn. And he carved a new yoke, and sawed planks for a new cart, and split shingles all winter, while his wife made flax into linen all winter, and his daughter embroidered linen all winter, and his son carved Indian brooms from birch all winter, and everybody made candles. And in March, they tapped the sugar maple trees and boiled the sap down. And in April, they sheared the sheep spun yarn and wove and knitted. And in May, they planted potatoes, turnips, and cabbages, while apple blossoms bloomed and fell. While bees woke up, starting to make new honey. And geese squawked in the barnyard, dropping feathers as soft as clouds.
I feel as if I've stepped right into the pages of Oxcart Man. Old Sturbridge Village is a living museum where everything looks, sounds, smells, and tastes just as it did 160 years ago. The people in costume aren't actors. They work here to learn about history by living it. Keep your eyes open and you'll find out what life was like in early America. Here at Old Sturbridge Village, they depend on muscle power instead of machines. Look around. Imagine what life would be like without electricity or machines. There's your alarm clock. Need milk? That's where you get it. Thirsty? Draw water from the well. In the early 1800s, everyone had to pitch in just to get by. Even the animals had full-time jobs. And oxen were the sturdiest and strongest of them all. They were the engines for pulling, tractors for hauling, and snowplows for pushing. And it took them years to learn their job. Here's how the baby oxen train here at Old Sturbridge.
Zeph, come up. Zeph, easy, easy. This young pair of oxen, we have Zephaniah here, the off ox, and Red Top, the nigh ox, which just means the off is away from me and nigh is next to me. They're just a young pair. They were born in April and May, a couple of weeks apart, which makes them probably equivalent to being somewhere around 5 or 6 years of age in human terms. They're just children, so we have to be careful and have a lot of patience with them. We generally start training them as soon as they're born. Basically, the training is just taking them around and getting them to do the commands, pulling them left, saying, come haw, pushing them right and telling them to go gee. And after a while, they pick that up, and they have already picked that up pretty well. The ox cart man in the book kissed his oxen on the nose. That's not something that I do. I don't, maybe if, I suppose I might, but I've never done it, and I'm not about to. If you get too close to their heads and they decide they don't want to be kissed on the nose and they toss their head around, they could hit you with the horn. But you do pet them quite a bit, because they do like to be scratched under the chin and rubbed around the ear. Try and get them out. Oh, at least, maybe not every day, but two or three days a week anyway, just taking them around the roads of the village, getting them used to some of the different places they're going to go, and meanwhile training them to the different commands periodically, stopping them for and practicing on some of the different commands, G and haw. Whoa, boys. Zeph and Red, back, G. Come on, Zeph. Come on, Red. Get up. Whoa, Zeph and Red, back up, back, Zeph. Red, Zeph and Red, come haw, come on, Zeph, come up, okay, come up. Woo! Zeph and Red, come ha. Come up. That's the boys. That's it. When I unhitch them, we just do the reverse of hooking them up. So Red was the last one in. He'll be the first one out. Just pull the pin, drop the bow down. Red, come up. Gonna feed them because they're hungry. I'll be giving them some hay right over here in the little hay rack. And this is for their noontime meal. They'll eat all of their hay up pretty quickly, and then as they have time later on, they'll just keep working at it, chewing their cud later in the afternoon.
No matter what century you live in, a warm kitchen is always a real treat on a cold day. Oh boy, this feels good. Something smells delicious. My favorite, fresh baked bread, hot out of the oven. And homemade butter, straight from the churn. Churning butter is like pouring molasses in January. Very, very slow. Not exactly like your kitchen at home, is it? And full of mysteries. What do you think this is? Well, it's called a pot hook, and you use it to pull the crane away from the fire. And what about this? A napkin server? A hot dog twirler? What do you think it is?
You could use it as a weather vane. Like, see, stick it on your house and go like that, and it would go like this.
A pot holder. What I'd do is I'd spin this thing around and I'd use it for a lawnmower.
This is a cheese grinder, and it could be used by putting cheese in there and turning it.
I would use it for, well, to put bacon in and just put it straight in. The bacon is straight, you just fry it.
There's no automatic pop-up, but with a little help, this'll brown both sides of the bread. It's called a toe toaster. Ooh! And if you don't watch out, it'll toast your toes as well as your breakfast. Ah, there's nothing like the taste of home cooking, or the feeling you get when you make something with your own two hands. Even that toe toaster was made by hand, by a blacksmith who forged it out of fire and iron. Let's watch him work.
Got some door handles I'm making for Mr. Freeman today, LeVar.
Uh-huh.
Heck, here's one of them I've already finished. And this bar of iron I've just cut off from that long piece is going to be another one. Now, this is going to take some more heat, and I'm going to need some help. Would you like to help out today?
I'd love to. What can I do?
Okay, I'd like you to pump the bellows so we can get some air in the fire and get the metal hot.
Okay. Just pump this here, huh? But why do we have to get it hot?
You got to hit it while it's hot or it's not going to bend.
So that's what they mean when they say to strike while the iron is hot.
Right, exactly.
Huh. So, Rob, where does the word blacksmith actually come from?
Well, it's a term that comes from the word smite, to hit. And goldsmiths hit gold, silversmiths hit silver.
Right.
And in the ancient times, black metal was iron and steel. So they naturally call the guy the blacksmith.
The blacksmith.
At this point, LeVar, I could use a little help in rounding that handle portion up.
Okay.
You want to act as my striker?
I'd love to.
Great. You give me short, quick hits.
Short, quick ones, huh? What are you doing now?
Well, I've got to spread the metal out from that lump into the bean shape.
Uh-huh. A bean? B-E-A-N, like chili bean or
right.
Coffee bean?
Well, that's a lima bean shape.
Huh.
You gonna help me bend the handle?
Love to.
Okay. Okay. Pull back, huh? Come back up. Good.
And that just a little bit more in there.
There's a finished door latch, LeVar.
Absolutely beautiful.
Oh, thanks. I'd like to thank you for helping me out this afternoon. I'd like to pay you something, too.
Thanks, Rob.
Well, here at Sturbridge, we have a system called bartering, where we trade for items. I have this cheese from Mrs. Richardson, and I'd like to give that to you.
A piece of cheese, huh? What a delicious way to pay your bills. Thanks very, very much.
Well, thank you. Come again.
I sure will.
Need help?
Boy, these are really terrific. I think I'll take them.
Do you have an account with us?
No, but I do have a credit card. I don't leave home without it.
Didn't use plastic in the 1800s. Hmm. Don't you have something to barter?
Barter? Oh, you mean trade? Yeah, how about this cheese?
It's a deal.
Beautiful. And handmade with love and pride woven right into the fabric. Most of the things in the early 1800s were made by hand. Forks and spoons, brooms, shoes, even books. This is what a children's book looked like in the early 1800s. And here we are at the Isaiah Thomas Print Shop, where the printer is setting some type. What you up to, Peter?
Well, I've got the type set on this, and I'm just putting a fancy border around the edge. Once that's done, we can lock it up and put it to bed and ready to print.
Hmm.
Now, I have something already there. Would you like to see it?
I'd love to.
Well, let's go. A 160 years ago, most books were being printed on machines like this.
Hmm.
So a child would have been very lucky if he even owned one.
So how does it work?
Well, it takes two people. One has to put the paper in and operate the press.
Right.
The other has to ink the type. So if you would like to take that roller over there, give the type a couple of passes. Yeah,
like that?
That's all it takes. Hmm. Now I'll lower the frisket.
Uh-huh.
The hole in the frisket enables the type to print through onto the sheet of paper, but keeps the margins clean.
Hmm.
Now I lower the paper onto the type. You grab that handle and roll it under the platen.
Right.
Of course, you'd have to do this a little faster back then.
Right.
And pull that lever. Just hang on to it when you go to return it.
Well, this looks like it takes some elbow grease, but it's really pretty easy.
Oh, it's a modern press. Just roll it out. And just do everything in reverse.
Well, thanks to bookstores and free libraries, you can have more than one book. So if you liked Oxcart Man, well, then here are some others that you might enjoy, but you don't have to take my word for it.
Hello out there. My name is Robin Martin. Have you ever been alone on a prairie at night and there's no one in sight? Well, this story, Wagon Wheels, is about three boys who do that, and it's real scary, too. Back in the pioneer days, the three Moldy boys and their father went out west for free land. They had to dig a hole in the ground to live there so the snow wouldn't get them. And one time when they ran out of food, the Indians came and saved their lives. The most exciting part came when the boys went out to meet their daddy. They went 150 miles and it took 22 days. They ran into snakes and coyotes and panthers, and they were all alone too. This is a great book because it shows that kids can really do things all by themselves. And if you like adventure, you'll love Wagon Wheels.
Hi, I'm Nirav Shah. Do you have a special place you like to go in the winter? Well, I do, but I'll tell you about that later. Right now, I want to tell you about a great book I've read called A Winter Place by Ruth Radin. It's about a small town where people find wonderful things to do in the winter. And there's something really different about this book. The pictures are really paintings. They're filled with details of mountains and hills, ice skating and ice fishing, and people playing in the snow. Some of the paintings even have signs you can read. What I really liked about this book was that I felt like I was walking in a small town in Vermont, watching horse buggies go by. I promised you I'd tell you where my favorite winter place was. Well, it's snuggled up on my bed, reading a good book.
That's where I read this one.
Hi, boys and girls. This is Ernie Perez telling you about an unusual book called Round Trip. Most trips are round trips. You go to a place and you come back home. But in this book, there's a little twist. The twist is you read the book all the way to the last page, then you turn the whole book around and you read it the other way. On the trip, we pass small farms, fields of wheat, and you could even count the cars on a train. Very soon, you get to a big city. My favorite picture is when they stop the car on the highway and they look at the fireworks in the sky. But when you turn the book around, it looks like marshy inlets. You should read Round Trip because it's almost as good as having two books. And it's one of the most unusual books I've ever read. You'll think so too.
One thing never changes. People love to have fun. And here at Old Sturbridge Village, joining in is a snap. In some ways, maybe the olden days were the golden days. People lived closer to the land, more in harmony with nature. And the world seemed more their own because they crafted so much of it by hand. Looking back to see how far you've come shows how far you can go. And there are always new frontiers, but you have to find them. You're the new pioneers.
LeVar, come join us.
See you next time. Today's Reading Rainbow books are Oxcart Man by Donald Hall, illustrated by Barbara Cooney, published by Viking Penguin. Round Trip by Ann Jonas, published by Green Willow Books. A Winter Place by Ruth Yaffe Radin, illustrated by Maddie Lou O'Kelly, published by Little Brown. Wagon Wheels by Barbara Brenner, illustrated by Don Bolognese, published by Harper & Row.